When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Eli Berkovitz joins us now, Packers beat writer. Follow him at Packer Report, as well as the Pack-A-Day radio or podcast, I should say. Follow him on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL. And our Green and Gold Update, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. What's going on, Eli?
Nothing much. Excited to be back again. Always appreciate the invite. Looking forward to breaking down this Packers-Saints game before we get to kickoff.
Do you see this as a possible trap game with the Vikings on the horizon on a 325 kick next weekend?
It's always scary anytime you kind of play a game, especially in prime time, that just feels so good on paper, but I really don't think so. If it was in New Orleans, maybe it's a different thing, but I think tonight it's going to be, obviously it's in Lambeau, but I don't see a lot of Saints fans, traveling, considering where their team is at, who, the injuries they have. So I think the Packers really should be able to take advantage of a very injured and just not a great Saints team. But, yeah, it's, I want to see what they did last week versus Seahawks. Go out early, score quickly, and then really make the Saints start trying to just win through the passing game, and that probably will not end well for them.
Talking to people from New Orleans that were on the show at the end of last week, and we played Bobby Hebert earlier today, former Saints quarterback, and now hosts the Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert show on WWL. Everybody that we've heard so far on this station this week has talked about the fact that they think Josh Jacobs and the Packers running backs can have an absolute feast on this Saints defense and put up some pretty big numbers if they want to stick with it throughout the game. What say you to that idea?
Yeah, I completely agree. I was writing for Packer Report this week. As I always do, I look at matchups for the Packers to exploit, and the number one matchup I pointed out is definitely the run game. The Saints have given up 4.9 yards per carry this season, which I believe is third highest in the NFL. They're beat up, but even not beat up. They're not good against the run. Josh Jacobs has obviously been on fire for weeks and weeks, and I don't see any way this Saints defense in Lambeau Field in this kind of weather is going to stop the momentum that Jacobs has, which obviously the last few weeks he scored, what is it now, almost 10 touchdowns in the last five games? Yeah, 10 touchdowns in the last five games. So he's been pretty unstoppable.
He has been unstoppable, and part of that, too, not only goes to him, but part of that goes to this offensive line, which is not stacked with a bunch of first-round draft picks at this point, but these guys, for the most part, are all getting the job done here the last several weeks since the bye.
Yeah, there's just something about the way the Green Bay Packers draft and develop offensive linemen that every team in the NFL should be very jealous of, because no matter who they put out there, it seems to work, and obviously this year, I think the biggest one is Josh Myers, he's had a couple bad games, but he was someone that I think a lot of fans, myself included, have basically given up on him and were more than ready to move on from this year. I don't know. He may have played himself into another contract with the Packers. I wouldn't bet on it, but I don't think it's impossible. And going into the season, I did think that was pretty impossible. And then the other one, of course, Walker and Tom are great at tackle, but seeing Sean Ryan be able to play consistently and play well after the way his career started, being a third-round pick who got suspended an entire rookie season, it's really nice to see that Ryan stepped up, and we'll have to figure out what to do with Jordan Morgan down the line.
Let's have you figure out what to do with Jordan Morgan down the line. Where does he play next year, or is he another year in a backup role?
I feel like, I'm sure they'll give him a chance to compete with Ryan at guard, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a backup kind of swing tackle type next year. There's no reason at all to switch Walker or Tom, obviously, a tackle. They've both been great. I don't see Elgton Jenkins moving from guard. The only way it changes is, if they move on from Myers, but I don't even see how that would really impact Morgan. So
see, that's it, though, man. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Jenkins is going to end up sliding over to center, and that's how Morgan's going to get in the lineup.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the one scenario I could see, is Elgton Jenkins goes to center, and then Morgan goes to left guard. And, I really wouldn't necessarily hate that, because while Elgton is having a good year, I do feel like he's not having his best year we've seen from him, for sure, penalty-wise. And we all know Elgton was originally a center and would, I would imagine would be fantastic at it, considering he's been pretty much fantastic anywhere else. So if that's their way of getting their best five, as LaFleur always likes to say, I'm more than fine with that. But I will just say, so it's out there and I can give myself credit if it works out. But I do think Jacob Monk is a good player. And I think that he could end up being the center of the future, if not one of the guards, but I do think he'll end up being a center for the Packers for a while.
Played a ton of college football, that's for sure, before coming to Green Bay. So that obviously would make sense too. Eli Berkovitz, Packers beat writer for the Packer Report. Also, of course, the Pack-A-Day podcast. Check out Andy Herman weekday mornings here, 8 to 9 on the Pack-A-Day radio show too. Follow Eli on Twitter at @BookofEli_NFL. When we start talking about the defensive side of the football and what we've seen from Edgerrin Cooper, are you convinced Quay Walker is the guy that will play next to Edgerrin Cooper going forward, or do you think they still need to go find that other guy?
It's tough. Quay Walker, I don't think they're going to be moving on from him, next year. He obviously still has another year on his rookie deal, but this was kind of like a make or break year for Quay, I feel like, for just kind of evaluating him going forward. And it's been strange because there's been moments where it's like, especially early on in the year, where it was just like the same issues of Quay. At least for me, it was he would put himself in position week after week to make plays all the time. He was there at the line of scrimmage to make a tackle, and then he just completely whiffs on the tackle. He's in position and coverage to intercept the ball, drops the ball, has a chance to sack a quarterback, totally whiffs. So that kept happening, and I was basically about done with it, but he did step up his game during the back half of the season. I think he's, heard a lot of the criticism of a lot of the fans, and he stepped up. But that being said, I definitely haven't seen enough from him to feel confident that he's going to be around, past his rookie deal. I think the way he finishes this season is going to make a huge impact on how we view going into next year what he really is. Because if he finishes strong, then we could look at, an 8-plus game sample size of good play and think that maybe being next to Cooper, being in half his system, they unlocked something and he could be good. But if we continue to see the same issues through the end of the season, I don't see how he can end up being the future next to Cooper.
I have talked to and I have seen several people on social media hint at the idea of moving on from Jair Alexander after this year, which I think is absolute lunacy. Your thoughts on that idea?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't like run to do it. Obviously, he gets paid a lot of money and he has not played a lot of football. But when he does play, he's still one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. There's been some, so he was suspended last year and people want to say there's a conspiracy theory with his knee and he's not playing and there's something wrong. But as far as I can tell, all the players love him and he's great for the locker room. He's obviously a very, fun and energetic guy. So I would like him to be a part of the team, but I also, am realistic about the way the Packers run the organization. And when you have a player like this who's consistently getting hurt and getting paid a ton of money, you never know. They've moved on from guys that I thought they wouldn't move on more so than Jair. I think they'll probably come up to him about taking a pay cut or at least a restructure of his contract. We'll have to see how he feels about that. But overall, I don't want to see him go because also we have no plan behind him. But I understand why fans are frustrated at this point.
You know, the other part about this fan base, as they look at it, was there was a lot of wrath and anger directed towards Joe Barry as defensive coordinator because he didn't play a ton of man. He didn't blitz a ton, kind of played everything in front of him. So they go out and they get Jeff Hafley, and his track record was more press man. That's what we thought we were going to get. But for the most part, that's not happened yet. They're playing pretty good defense.
Yeah, it's been strange. I mean, they're not just not playing press man. I believe the last I saw, the Packers have the highest zone percentage across the entire NFL. If not the highest, it's for sure in the top 3 to 5, but I believe it's the highest. And if someone just told me that going into the year, I would be very concerned and not pleased with it. But as you said, they're playing good defense. I think, number one, not having Jair is a huge part of that. Like, they were still playing good amount of zone with Jair, but Jair's barely been healthy all season. Like, I do think that impacts how much man they play. And even with a healthy Jair, I just don't know how much faith they have in Valentine or Stokes to hold up in man coverage consistently. So that being said, I don't care if you play zone, as long as you're not doing Joe Barry zone where it's 3rd and 3 and let's have all of our guys lined up 8 yards downfield. Like, that is insane. You want to play zone and line up close to the line of scrimmage, and yeah, you're probably going to drop back most of your players, but you can't just play a zone where you're giving an automatic 3 to 5 yard gain anytime the offense wants it, which is what we saw consistently from Joe Barry. We're not seeing that nearly as much from Hafley. And I think it's very interesting that they managed to sack Geno Smith / Sam Howell 7 times on Sunday Night Football, without any blitzes, all on 4-man rushes. That's really, really impressive, especially for a front four that was not getting a lot of pressure, at least it felt like for a lot of the year. But overall, I'm obviously very happy with Jeff Hafley and the hire of Jeff Hafley and what we've seen from him so far.
Prediction time, Eli Berkovitz. What do you got for a score tonight?
I usually don't like to get too ahead of myself, but I just don't see any way the New Orleans Saints, the Spencer Rattler, a dome team from the South coming up to the North to Green Bay, and you guys were just talking about it. Seems like it's going to be a really bad weather game. Hopefully not too bad, but I'm going to go Packers 31, Saints 10. I just don't see the Saints being able to move the ball tonight, so the Packers got to take advantage of all that.
I want a blitz-heavy defense tonight. I want him to try and confuse and rattle Rattler in this game over the course of 3 hours. We have not seen it from Hafley yet. I would love to see an aggressive style of defense from the first snap on to show Spencer Rattler something he hasn't seen before. Kind of like, I mean, I don't need all the zero looks that Kansas City did against Jordan Love necessarily, but I want to pressure him. Something similar to that.
Yeah, I want to see what we did against Will Levis back in week 3,
yes.
I believe it was. Like, if Spencer Rattler can drop back on you 30-plus times in the snow and face a blitz and beat you, then you have bigger issues. But I just don't see that way. Anything that's just not going to happen. You bring consistent blitzes, not just on third down, but especially on third down, but in general, and force him to just make good, accurate throws repeatedly in the weather. He's not going to do it, and I think if he does bring plenty of blitzes, we could see a 2-3 interception night, and that would be pretty fun.
Absolutely. Eli Berkovitz, Packer beat writer. Check him out at Packer Report, as well as on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL. Eli, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me, as always. Look forward to the next time.